this message is something I preached before a communion service, actually, at a camp. And it's called, Do You Want to Get Well? And it's the words of Jesus to the man who was at the pool of Bethesda. And he was waiting for the pool to be stirred. And he was just waiting there. And he, he had some, Jesus asked him a question. He'd had some responses. Now, you know, we do ask God questions a lot. We're learners, and we want to ask God questions and learn things. And sometimes they're why questions. Why did you let that happen? You know, that kind of thing. Or what should I do? It's a what question, or it's a yes or no answer. Like, should I go there now or later? Or, you know, and so we have these questions. But Bruce Larson wrote a book, and you might remember us sharing this years ago, Dawn, about questions that God asked. I don't know. Terry and I took that on, I guess. And Bruce Larson wrote this book, What God Wants to Know. He asks us questions. And this is one question that comes out of John chapter 5. And Jesus is there, and he sees this person there. It says, John 5, 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, 38 years, it says in the passage, he asked him, Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And the healing of, you know, we say, Do you want to get well? God really desires our wholeness. He wants us to be healed, but he starts with our minds. And this interaction with this man shows that. It shows exactly that. Because when he asked this guy about healing, this guy did not say, yeah, sure, I want it. You know, he was like coming back with some things, statements he was making to Jesus. And, it's the healing of the mind is the area that we need to think about, because God desires wholeness, starting with healing of the mind. And just like the Bethesda pool, it only gets stirred up occasionally. Well, that question, that area of healing of the mind, our minds, healing of our minds so that we have the right attitudes, that only gets stirred up once in a while. But we need to stir it up right now as we look into this passage. When I was working emergency room, and I worked psych as well, I saw many failures of the medical field. I saw many failures of both treatments for the mind and treatments for the body. And so it skewed my perspective a little bit about people getting well. You know, and later on, I went to CFO camps where they had a lot of prayer for healing, and it sort of changed my mind. It gave me a new perspective. So perspectives, our mental attitude, guides our focus. Perspectives, they guide our focus, and perspectives can narrow our perceptions of things or our expectations. You know, if we have certain perspectives, then we can it can narrow us. That was my perspective in the ER and in psych, that people weren't getting healed like I thought they should, you know. And Bruce Larson told this little story of a family that was on vacation in Florida, and they were driving along the beach, and they saw this sign. It said Naturist Park or Naturist Camp. So they pulled in. They thought it meant naturalist camp. And so they pulled in and parked, and all these people on bicycles naked were driving by. And the little five-year-old's son said, look, mommy and daddy, they're not wearing their safety helmets. His idea was narrow. His perspective, he didn't see the naked people. He just saw they were on their bicycles, but they didn't have their safety helmets. That was his narrow perspective. And I thought that was really cute. And he was trying to make a point in his book about how people get their perspectives their perspectives narrowed by certain experiences. So God's questions aren't for his own learning. He doesn't ask, do you want to be healed, just so you could find out. He's asking us those questions so that we can learn about ourselves. And this is what happens to this man. He asked him, do you want to get well? And when God asked us that question, it helps us to get our, to move our focus from ourselves, you know, and move our focus from our problems to our attitudes. And that's really important. We think, well, I got this problem, and that's the deal. A lot of people go to counseling and they got this problem and it's right there. But really, the problem goes way deep, like a iceberg. The presenting problem is just like the tip of the iceberg. Underneath is all these attitudes and stuff that need healing. So God desires our wholeness, but he starts with our minds. He starts with our minds. Because that's where, that's where our thinking can bring us. It can bring us to the wrong perspective. It can bring to wrong attitudes. So this man with an infirmity for, 38 years, thought, I'm helpless. That was his attitude. I'm helpless. You can see this in his answer was evasive to Jesus. He evaded Jesus' question. He didn't even say, you'd think it's not a direct answer. He should have said, he probably should have said, of course I want to be healed. Absolutely. So when do we start? That you'd think that somebody would say that. Do you want to be healed? And that would be the answer. But no, it wasn't a positive answer at all. It was an explanation. He didn't even say yes or no. He just started to explain things. I have an issue to talk about before this healing thing. I have some issues. And so it was not a direct answer. And this was the deal. Jesus saw his condition. He saw his condition lying there helpless. And he knew his circumstances, that he was paralyzed, but he saw something more, that he also had some paralyzed attitudes. And that's probably the bigger issue here. He has been paralyzed for 38 years, but his attitude had gotten into a paralyzed attitude. And so Jesus' question is a special question that targets the most important target. It aims at the most important target, the man's mental attitude. And the same thing with us, Well, first of all, his attitude was a verbalized mental complaint. He verbalized a mental complaint that expressed his unhealthy focus. He had been a victim. By his perspective, I'm a victim. I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. You see, family and friends and society have failed me. I'd be doing fine right now if only they had done their part. I'm a victim, you see. When we feel that victimization thing, our focus is on our dashed hopes and our shattered dreams. Oh, I wish I could have been healed. But see, that's the reason I'm not healed. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down in front of me, ahead of me. So as victims, we say, I did try. I tried harder, like they said. I did what I was told, but I got nowhere. Or we say, all the other people get the breaks. I don't. And we ask God, we're actually turning it around and we're asking God, we're asking the reverse of God's question. We're saying, do you really want me to be healed? Do you, God, want me to be healed? And it reveals our doubts, mental attitudes of doubt, that God's will is to heal. So God's answer to this reverse question is 100% yes. Do you want me to be healed, God? He said, yeah, that's 100% yes. But our yes is not spoken with 100% confidence. And that's the deal. God wants us to bring us to wholeness, starting with our minds, starting with our minds. This man was paralyzed, but he was paralyzed first in his attitude, paralyzed first in his mind, in his mindset of victimization, of hopelessness, and that led him to despair. So he wasn't saying, yes, I want to be healed to that as answering that question. No, he was saying, I've been a victim, though. I've been a victim. You know, this whole thing is hopeless. But it had led him somewhere. It had led him to Bethesda. The word Bethesda means a house of grace. Isn't that interesting? It had led him to the house of grace. And in his perspective, the acts of grace were all coming to other people, not to him, never to him. But then he met Jesus. Oh my. Then he met Jesus. And Jesus brought the grace, and he brought it in a question, do you want to be healed? And you know, his question offered more than a miracle. It offered his interaction with this man. You know, a lot of people, they get healed. They're seeking a miracle for healing, but they're not seeking him. They're not seeking Christ, the healer. That's what God really wants to do by his miracles. He wants to create a thirst for the miracle maker, the miracle worker, for Christ. He wants to stir up a thirst in our hearts for him. And Jesus offered him something that a miracle doesn't necessarily. He offered personal interaction with this man. And you know, what we really need, we need that personal interaction with Jesus, not just miracles. We need the personal interaction with him. His question to us also validates the power of human free will. I mean, God wants to collaborate with us on this. He doesn't want to say, just dependent on me. Then we still are in this victim thing. No, he wants to call us, do you want to be healed? I'm talking to you. You have to make a choice here. Do you want to be healed? So he's involving the will. And you know, psychology and psychosomatic medicine, if you study it, they testify that our thoughts have to do a lot with our bodies. Really. Our thoughts have to do a lot with our bodies because we are a union of body, soul, and spirit. And so Jesus wants to collaborate with our health. There was a man that Bruce Larson mentioned that was his relative. He was told he was going to die in 6 months if he didn't stop smoking and drinking. And he said, I'd rather die in six months than live 50 and give up, you know, my smoking and drinking. But he died in 3 months. You know, it's like it was his attitude was right there along with his problem that he needed healed from. So Jesus' question addresses our wills. And he's trying to help us to get away from blaming others or the kind of complaining, you know, that it's their problem. I'm a victim, you know. Carl Rogers, he was a secular psychologist, and he had a lot of success. I wrote a lot of books. He wrote anyway. His thing was this. He said, clients or counselees, they're hopeless if they blame others for their problems. We can't help them. They're hopeless if they are blaming others for their problems. And what this question does, it holds us accountable. Are we actually having a positive or a negative attitude? Are we having a positive or a negative attitude? And there was a man named, who was also a psychologist, Martin Seligman, who wrote a book called Learned Optimism. I thought that was a cool title. He says that we all have in our hearts a yes or a no. We respond to life either negatively or positively. If we can learn to put the yes into practice, it will change the course of our lives. All the people that were healed at Bethesda, you know, they finally died. You know, they did finally die. Even this man finally died. And until Jesus returns, it's what I said earlier, there he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth. But until that time, physical healing is just a temporary thing. It's just temporary. And what it really does for us, it helps us to interact with Jesus. And it helps us to get closer to him. Because if it doesn't help us to get closer to him, what's the miracle for? What's the healing for? You know? To extend our life without him. I mean, no. So full restoration of our body comes on resurrection day. But his desire for our wholeness, starting with our minds, it starts now in this life. It starts now. So we have this desire for wholeness, and God wants to offer this wholeness now, you know. And he starts with our minds. It must start there. God's question, do you want to get well, leads us to ask ourselves, do we trust his diagnosis? Now, I'm going to use medical stuff because that's what my background, you know, nursing. So do we trust his diagnosis, you know, as you trust a doctor's diagnosis to bring healing? Do you trust his diagnosis? And then do we agree with the treatment? We have to also agree with the treatment mentally and say, yeah, I agree with this treatment that's being prescribed in this special case, you know. And then are we going to stay on the regime? Are we going to stay on the healing regime that has been prescribed? It's been diagnosed. Treatment has been prescribed. Are we going to stay on the regime? If we don't, it's what we call a poor prognosis. There's probably not going to be a healing. So we have to think about, are we following the orders of the great physician? Are we looking into the word to see what our attitudes are, or are we going to have a poor prognosis about our attitude because we're not listening to the word of God? So God wants us to be serious about wanting to get well, starting with inside of our minds. And we must really see that this is a crucial question. Will we make room for God's healing? And this comes up to a whole different kinds of attitudes. Jesus told us, give and it shall be given unto you. You know, this attitude of gratitude and attitude of giving, give and it shall be given unto you. And Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Are we holding on to bitterness? If we hold on to something of bitterness, we won't get that bitterness healed. If we hold on to hurts, we won't get them healed. Let go and let God is the divine prescription. And that's what healing, what forgiveness means, letting go. We receive healing only because we have an open hand. If we're holding on to something, we don't have an open hand. We can't receive the healing. And this is another thing. We cannot receive God's wholeness for our own broken souls if we have held on to the sins that others have done against us. You know, if we hold on, we're still being a victim there. We say, they made me this way. I'm this way. I have this attitude because they made me this way. They sinned against me. And that's when we really do have to let go, forgive, let God take this bitterness out of our hearts so he can give us the attitude that is conducive to healing. Yes, let go and let God. Let go and let God. So God desires our wholeness, starting with our minds. And we start that by choosing new birth in Christ. But then there's an ongoing health. We must choose to live the new life that we were born into in this new life in Christ. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we do that. Jesus showed us that God does want to heal. God is a healing God, but he's at work right now. He's trying to heal things in our hearts that we still don't even see, that we have attitudes that we're holding on to that we don't even see those attitudes, but God wants to heal those. So he's working even now to work in our hearts. And there's some things, of course, that will not be healed until we get to heaven, until we get, you know, the last stage of the journey, I'm still got this thing. It's because it's to be healed in heaven. That's the final healing. But for right now, he wants us to be healed, starting with our minds. So listen, when we read that question again, when we hear that question, God wants to heal us. He wants to start in our minds. We hear that question, do you want to be healed? We have to think, do I? Do I really want to be healed? Do I trust his diagnosis? Do I submit to his treatment? And do I stay on the regimen so that I have a good prognosis? I hope those are helpful for you. I just want to pray about that. Father God, thank you for your word. And I pray, Father God, if we're holding on to any attitudes that are not conducive to wholeness and healing, I pray that you'd help us to see that and help us, Lord, to just let go and let God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.